Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and last time we heard from who I call power parents, Jay and Heidi St. John. They're now embarrassed that I'm saying this, but it's okay. It's still true. We were talking about teaching scripture to our children, and all of us agree it's important to teach your children about Christ, whether you homeschool or not. But for those that are interested in homeschooling, Jay and Heidi have written several books about surviving as homeschooling parents, including The Busy Homeschool Mom's Guide to Romance, Nurturing Your Marriage Through the Homeschool Years. I think husbands may have just perked their ears up for that one. But last time they came to share ideas about their latest project, and it's called Firmly Planted, and it's different volumes on helping parents teach scripture to their children of all ages. If you've got a 3-year-old and a 16-year-old, this will help. In fact, Jane, honey, let's talk about that. Let's say someone's listening and they heard yesterday's broadcast and they're listening today and they say, yeah, I want to do this. This is something I want to do, but I'm not quite sure how to start. I've got, let's say, a 4-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 16-year-old. They were waiting some time in between, and the 16-year-old is a 16-year-old. You know, we live in America, and we can get angsty teens. How do I start this process teaching 4, 10, and 16, and for the first time?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've tried to make this as simple as possible and also make it as flexible as possible, because mm-hmm. one of the things that we have found in our family is that so many things that are out there are so rigid that it's too much, and our kids burn out, we burn out, and it's just not a good experience. So we've tried to make...
Let me pause you for a second there. I agree, but let's talk about that. Some of the Bible study materials for families out there, you look at it and you think, yes, this is a great Bible study, but who could do this? And I look at you guys are super parents. If you're saying
talk
that,
to our kids,
I feel better. I do talk to your kids. I follow them on Instagram.
Okay,
we talk to each other. But it makes me feel better because I look at those things and I think, I can't do all this. We don't have that many hours in a day. I have been reading Firmly Planted, and you really have put in the hard work for parents. I really want to stress that with parents. These volumes have taken care of all of it. When you've got the 4-year-old, there's things to color, and there's shorter scriptures to memorize, and there's things to apply to the different age groups.
Yeah, there's puzzles in there. Mm-hmm. There are word finds. And we did those. Actually, if you go through, you'll notice there's a little sketched character of a little boy in a red shirt. That's Savannah Drew. That's a little picture of Spencer because he likes puzzles.
Oh.
So the puzzles are in there for Spencer. But all of those activities that are in there will point your kids toward the scriptures. They will point them back toward what you've been talking about. But we want to make it fun. That's that cool drink of water.
Yeah.
We want them to look at the scriptures as a living in their lives, something that they are interacting with. And the best way that we've found to do that with our own kids is to simplify it. It's not a 25-minute, inductive Bible study with our children. It's just simple truths from
God's
Word.
You're not teaching hermeneutics to the 4-year-old?
Not so far, no. But, you know, we have one that could probably handle
it. These are all stories because stories are compelling,
right.
And those are really the core of what, God is trying to show us through God's Word is that all the stories that happen from Genesis through Revelation. Mm-hmm. And those are the things we remember. We talk about them. We think about them, at least we should be. Mm-hmm. And we want our kids to know about them and think about them and apply them as well. So each one, each story is for a whole week. So it's basically we have 5 days worth of activities. And the guidebook, each week introduces a story. You teach it to your kid. And then the following 4 days, it just has a different focus to help the kids see something else about the story. But honestly, it's 10, 15 minutes. It's really not that long. We wanted it to be something that we would do at breakfast because that's when we have time to do it, when we're all together. So we've tried to make activities that would fit different family dynamics,
right.
So that they would engage them and that they would find that interaction with God's Word. It's not enough just to know God's Word and have it memorized. You have to have it in your heart to reflect on it and think, what does this mean for me in my everyday life?
Yeah. So I know you've talked about stories, and I was teaching a class on speaking, and I said, use stories, don't make your points.
Absolutely.
But some of the books of the Bible aren't narrative books. Yeah. You've got Romans or 1 Peter or going back in Ecclesiastes, different things like that. Mm-hmm. How do you teach those areas to little, I've got a 6-year-old who doesn't like to sit, nor do I. At that age, do you use mainly the narrative books, and then as they get older, you can get into, you know, more inductive, different things like that.
What we've been doing with Firmly Planted is starting with the stories, and as we look at those stories and talk about them, of course, there's things that come up that reference other parts of the Bible and other theological positions or whatever. I mean, whatever God's trying to teach us in that story. So you can pull in all kinds of stuff. Psalms, Proverbs.
You can
go all over the place. And that's what's so cool about God's Word, because it all supports itself. I mean, wherever you are in the whole Bible, it can relate to something else in, you know, in a totally different time in history and a time and in also a different place in the Bible. So it's very powerful.
Here's something really cool that I have discovered for, you know, years and years of homeschooling our kids. The stories are powerful. If you can get a child to be interested and engaged emotionally with the story, they're going to remember it. Something else that we get asked quite a bit at conferences where we speak about teaching children the Word is parents will say, I don't know the Bible myself. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I don't know how to study the Bible. I couldn't begin to know what to do. The cool thing about Firmly Planted is we've taken the guesswork out of doing that. The little guidebook that comes with it, the scripture is already in there.
Right.
And so, and there's a section in the back that's supposed to be for high schoolers. But really what we're finding is a lot of parents are doing that. The parents are answering the questions for themselves. And so then they're learning to study the Bible right along with your kids.
It scares a lot of parents to think, I won't, what if I don't know the answer? I mean, that is a scary thing.
But and that takes the fear away.
That's right.
You don't have to know this beforehand.
That's right.
You don't have to have studied this beforehand.
Anyone can pick it
up. You can do it right now
with
your kids, and you can both learn at your own pace.
And if you can, you know ahead of time, there's going to be things that come up you just won't know. I mean, it happens to us all the time. And we say, you know what? I don't know. Let's pray about it. Let's study God's Word, and let's see what God, you know, leads us to in learning what He has for us in this subject.
Here's what I'm thinking. You know, as a speaker, I go out and I know how to wake up an audience. It's not an easy skill. It's one I've learned over time. It doesn't always work, but most of the time, I'll take the sessions after lunch. It's a really hard one because people have just eaten and they get kind of sleepy. But for me, that's in my wheelhouse. It's not for everyone. I understand that. And so what about the parent who says, I mention the word Bible and my 13-year-old's eyes glaze over? If I say, oh, we're gonna read some scripture and we got some puzzles and things like that, and it's just like, you know, they might be looking in your direction, but they're thinking about something totally different. Mm-hmm. Or the kid that's just in full rebellion that says, you can make me sit here, but you can't make me learn this. Mm-hmm. Those are things that I know parents listening right now are dealing with anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying, I want to teach my kids scripture, but this is what I'm dealing with. What do I do?
Well, and we've had kids that have, you know, several of our kids have been like, really, we're going to do this today, you know? And I think the Bible says that faith comes through hearing, you know? And so when we sit down with our kids, they don't always want to do it. They don't always want to do lots of things that we want that we ask them to do. But what we've noticed over time is there is power in prayer. And for us as parents to be praying for our children, to be going, okay, Lord, open the eyes of my child. Open my child's heart. Help them want to know you better. Mm-hmm. And continuing to love your children to say, you know what? I know you don't want to do this, but would you just humor me?
Yeah.
Give me 10 minutes. Could you give your little sister sit down with us for 10 minutes with your little sister and me, and we're just going to read through this. And it's amazing what God's Spirit does. It's a salve to the heart, but I think so much of it is it falls on the heart of the parent. What's the attitude of mom and dad?
Yeah.
I'm always telling Jay this, you know. I have discovered what a fleshly, sinful person I am as a parent because my kids know how to ring my bell and push my buttons and make me mad. And I don't want that to be what they remember about us studying the Bible.
I don't want them to do that. I think what I heard you say, and I think this is going to give parents a lot of freedom. We're not talking about math. We're not talking about geography. We're not talking about social studies. We are talking about the living Word of God.
That's right.
And because this is such a different, it's not a different subject. It's a different entity altogether because the Creator wrote this book. If I've got if Lincoln becomes the angsty and angry 16-year-old, I can say, you know what? You don't have to do the study if you don't want to, but you do need to be in the room while we do this. This is what we do as a family because even if he continues that until he leaves home, he's been hearing God's word.
Hearing.
This is a living word. He's been hearing it.
Yeah.
And that can be good enough.
Yes, yep. And love your kids. You know, we love our kids, and at the end of the day, we entrust them to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We go, look, we did our part. Jay and I have said for years, you know, when we're done, you know, raising all of our children, we want to be able to answer to the Lord and say, God, we pointed them toward you. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want our kids to go, Mom and Dad have all the answers. We're totally happy for them to say, our parents did not know all the answers. Our parents screwed up. Our parents made mistakes. But at the end of the day, they love the Lord. And they followed him and they looked to him for answers. That's what we're trying to model for our kids. Look to the Lord, because eventually they're going to move out.
Yeah.
And then what are they going to do? One thing that I have been very passionate about in speaking this summer is to tell parents not to make the Bible another one of their academic pursuits. And homeschoolers are particularly prone to this. So we'll see, you know, we get our curriculum, you know, we order all of our stuff. It's math and history and Bible and science and reading and language. Well, do you see how Bible just got right in, sandwiched in there? Then it becomes just something that we study in school and we check it off our list. Well, when your kid graduates from school, from your homeschool, or they graduate from Christian school, or they going to see Bible as just another subject that they studied in school, or are they going to see it as the living Word of God, something that they can't live without, something that is part of who they are? And so I made kind of a controversial statement at a huge event. There was, I think, 17,000 people at this event. And I made a statement and I said, stop studying the Bible as part of your academic education. Stop studying it as part of school and start bringing it more into where it's a foundational part of who you are.
Yeah. Let me talk to the parent now that's thinking, uh-oh, I've not been doing this.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
Right.
It's really not. It's not too late to go to your kids and say, you know what? I have to say, I've been missing something. I love the Lord.
Yeah.
And I've not been teaching you Scripture, or however you want to say it, but say, this is important, and it's important enough for us to make a change. And so from here on out, you will see me in the Bible more.
Yeah.
And as a family, I'd like to do this. And I know we haven't done it in the past, and we're going to go through some speed bumps maybe, but this is something that's important. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do this as a family.
Mm-hmm. And
the parents.
And you tell them that you love
them. That's
right. Tell them that you love them. I think that foundational piece of your relationship with your child, knowing that you have their best interest at heart and that you love them and that you love the Lord is motivating. Mm-hmm. It's motivating for your child to say, you know what? Because we've done that with our kids over many, many, many different things, and said to our kids, wow, you know, we could have done that a whole lot better.
Right.
And so we're going to make a change. And they're used to that. They're used to mom and dad going, well, it's time to adjust or, you know, pull back or push forward. That's what you're doing, is you're modeling for your children what it means to go, hey, This is where there's a fork in the road, and we're going to go this way as a family.
Every family's different. The dynamic's different. The kids are different. I think it's really important that we take time with God and just say, God, what do you want me to do about this? If we react to everything that comes along, I mean, we've talked a bit about how, you know, we're involved with too many things in our life.
Jay, let me ask you that. This is a great point. What do you do when you get discouraged? I mean, you've got a 22-year-old and you've got a 2-year-old. And I know you well enough to know there had to have been times where it just wasn't clicking. It feels like you got a gear that's missing a tooth and it keeps slipping.
That was last Tuesday.
And have you gotten discouraged? Does it feel sometimes like, my goodness, we just, you know, here we are talking about it on the road and we're writing books about it. And at home, I don't want to throw any of your kids under the bus. But how do you handle the discouragement? How do you handle that time where it's pulling teeth to get this stuff done.
Well, I think it's important that you know why you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that you've spent some time praying about what God would have you do. We take some time away and pray together as a couple and say, what do we need for our family for this next year? Where are we as a family? Where do we want to be going? You know, where are the holes in our parenting or in our, you know, do our kids or even us have issues we need to be working on this year? And then pray about how God would help us work through those things. And, you know, it could be very different from one situation to the next. But I think it's important that you do that, because then through the year, when you get discouraged or when you have things don't go as you've thought, I mean, sometimes you have to adjust and change things just because of life. But other times you just need to say, you know what, this is what we felt God calling us to do, and he affirmed it in these things. And so we're going to keep going with this, even though It might be hard, or we don't like it, or
The kids don't always do what we want them to do, and just a couple days ago, I went into the office and I was like, "Wow, I'm having trouble with with so and so." And Jay was just like, "Dude, this parenting thing, like, who said it was going to be this hard? Like, really? Because we've been doing this for 22 years, you'd think we'd have a better grasp on it by now. But the truth is, nothing that's worth doing in this life is ever easy.
That's right.
Yeah. Nothing. Parenting is not easy.
Isn't that
Marriage
interesting?
Marriage is
though?
Not easy. It's not easy.
Yeah. In fact, I'm in the middle of writing a book right now, and my opening sentence, my introduction says, I thought marriage would be easier.
Yep.
I did.
Yep.
I work for a ministry that helps people struggling in marriage, but I thought it would be easier.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it would be easier. Yeah. I look around, it's not easier for anybody else, but I thought it would be. I thought parenting would be easier. And you're right. Mm-hmm. The things that are worth it oftentimes are very difficult. I love my wife. I want to be married to her forever.
Yeah.
But sometimes marriage is really hard.
Yeah.
And I like what you said, Jay. As a couple, you two go away and talk about how you're doing. And what I see as a picture of that is, as a family, you're in a river and you're floating down the river. And at least once a year, you pull over to the side of the shore
go,
hey, where are we heading?
Yeah.
Maybe there's a waterfall up there. I don't know.
Yes.
But so many of us, we just get in the river and we're floating along and we do what we've always done. You get stuck in a rut and then you wake up and you go, whoa, hey, there's a waterfall in front of us.
Yeah.
You're being intentional about your future. And I know I get overwhelmed pretty easily. And I know parents are saying, oh my goodness, are you asking us to do all these things? Taking a day and a half, to just say, how are we doing as a family?
Mm-hmm.
What are our goals for next year? Mm-hmm. It would be so worth it.
You got to get away from the noise to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get away from the noise.
We've often just gone out for coffee and sat down and talked about it. It doesn't have to be something really in-depth.
Sometimes we've gone out in the car and sat in the parking lot. You know, just to be away
from
the noise.
I'm so glad you said that, though, because that's telling parents, if you can't get away for a day and a half, you could get away for an hour and just sit in the car and
just
go, hey.
Just do something.
Yeah.
I want to encourage, too. I know I hear from the men a lot just saying, I work, away from home. I'm not there very often and I can't be involved very much. And you're saying all these things that we have to do, but I can't do it because my life doesn't fit that. And I want to encourage them and say, just being intentional and letting your wife know where you're going, and even if it was the other way around, if the wife couldn't be there for some reason, I mean, just knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it and that you have each other's back because you're in this thing together, that's really what matters the most.
I think it's interesting.
As a marriage, as a couple.
I mean, Jay's talking about being intentional. And I think the two words that come to my mind immediately are we need to be intentional as parents, intentional as husband and wife. And we also need to know what God's word says the priorities are at home.
Yeah.
And I think so often we get mixed up because the priorities are wrong. So what is more important than nurturing our marriage? What is more important than teaching our kids to love and follow and hear God's voice for themselves so that when they leave home, they'll know how to recognize his voice when they hear it? I wish I could. I'm so terrible at references, but I wish I could remember the scripture reference of the verse that says, don't grow weary in doing good, because how often, Jay, do we look at each other across the table and just go, what in the world?
Yeah.
This is hard. And the temptation is to go, what? Forget it. Go ahead and color with the Sharpie on the wall. See if I care. I'll fix it in 10 years. you get to that point where you're just exhausted, but we continually go back and say, okay, Lord, what is important to you? And that's why the getting away together, having a personal relationship with the Lord, individually and together as a couple is so important. I just started encouraging moms. I have a page on Facebook called The Busy Mom. And I've been encouraging women now for about 4 or 5 months to get in the Word with me every morning.
Yeah.
So every morning I post something at 6:30 and I'm just like, hey, 2 minutes out of your day.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants to talk to you. He's got something he wants to say. And those few minutes that we take in the quiet before the noise of the children and all those things begin to come into our day and we're distracted and pulled in so many different directions, those few moments, whenever it is, some women are, want to do it in the evening or whatever, but it's important. And I think we don't recognize what's important. You know, what we hear is we got to get our kids in ballet. They got to be in soccer. What if they don't make the football team?
Yes.
You know, we and those things become a priority.
If we don't have all these things, our kids can't go to a good college. And we have to compete with all the parents that are doing all these things. Right. And
the pressure is enormous.
It is.
And it is backbreaking for parents. And I said a few weeks ago at another conference, I said, you know what? At one point, we decided with our children, you know, we looked at the skill set of our children and we decided none of our kids are ever going to get into college on a football scholarship or a scholarship or a track scholarship. And it wasn't something that was important for our family. And we began to weed out those things that were like, this isn't necessary. This isn't something that's profiting our family, or it's even profitable necessarily for the child, and look to fill those holes in other ways. And it was amazing the change that happened by just stepping back and saying, all right, kids, you know, let us know what you guys want to do. Your dad and I are going to powwow about it, and then we're going to decide what is going to work for our family. And we got rid of a ton of stuff. And you know what? The kids are happier. Mm-hmm. They are less stressed out. Yeah, and here we thought it was going to be the other way around, you know. And so I had a mom come up to me and say, I don't know. I wanted my daughter to be in ballet. And what if she doesn't get to, you know, dance on point or whatever? And I was like, listen, you got to ask the Lord, what's really important?
Yeah. You know, why is this so important to you?
Well, right. Yeah.
Because have you made it important to your kid? Does your kid think it's so important because you made it that important?
Yes.
You know, that's an interesting thing.
You need to do things that, you know, because some of these things are good things. And it may be that they may.
Definitely. We're not saying you have to cut everything out and go move and get off grid and only do solar power and don't do solar, just go candles. And, you know, when the sun comes up, then you can get up. We're not saying that.
Right.
But thinking about it.
Yeah.
Thinking about what's really actually important and then making some changes. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, let me say one more thing. And let me ask if you've experienced this. Sometimes, and I want to tell parents this, you got to hang in there.
Yes.
Because when you start to try to do something good, listen, if you're going to pour yourself into your family and into your marriage, that's what Satan does not want.
Absolutely.
He wants chaos, and he wants your kids to be rebellious and you to be angry with them.
Yes.
And don't be too surprised if, as you start to teach your kids scripture and make this a part of your everyday life, if everything breaks loose. And right now, this is the first time I've said anything. My wife doesn't know this. I have a friend that's written a book on prayer.
Yeah.
It's a 40-day prayer covenant. And he said, I'd like to join in a 40-day prayer covenant with you. And I said, absolutely. I'm excited. And he goes, I want you to call me in 2 weeks because you'll be amazed at what happens in your life. And let's see. I got sick.
Yeah.
I got in a huge fight with my wife. I threw my back out and got a nerve pinched and had to get in traction for it. So Lucy fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
The chaos that has entered my household since I started praying every day for God to intervene in my life and the life of another person is stunning, to the point where it's really comedy for me.
Yeah.
Lord doesn't know why all this is going on, but I figured it out. And I want parents to realize Satan's going to attack you.
That's right.
Absolutely.
The more you love your kids, the more you put them in the Bible, the more you put God first in your life, you are putting a target on your back. Mm-hmm. It's still worth it.
Well, 1 Peter 5:8 says that there's an enemy, and he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And then we look in Ephesians, Ephesians 6, talks about the spiritual battle that we're in. And we're always telling parents, dude, you cannot fight a spiritual battle using a carnal weapon. We fight spiritual battles using the weapons of spiritual warfare, which are prayer and being in God's word.
Yeah.
And yet every day we go out into the world unguarded.
Mm-hmm.
We go out unguarded because we think, oh, I got to make money. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to do that. It's like, no, we are in a spiritual battle. And you're absolutely right. I mean, the attack on the family now is so intense.
Yeah.
The attack on Christian parents who are trying to teach their kids to love and follow and serve the Lord Jesus is so intense because the battle is spiritual in nature.
That's right.
And often we forget that
because
it
is. Because it's eternal.
Yes.
Right. It's the eternal balance that we're fighting for.
So I'm glad that you said that because absolutely, our kids will attest to this. Whenever we hit the road as a family and we're going to speak at convention season, I am telling you, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong.
Yeah.
And so we tell our kids, you know, we pray as a family. I mean, the kids know. I told you, the motorhome caught on fire for crying out loud.
Yeah.
We have seen so many things, and our kids are starting to see it with spiritual eyes. They're starting to go, wow, Satan must be really upset because look at this and this and this and this. And it changes their perspective over time. But they can't see their dad and I, you know, just go, well, we quit, we give up.
Right, of course not. You know. Because it is worth it. And that's the message you're giving to parents.
Absolutely.
We've run out of time again.
What?
I just love having you here so much. I really do. I feel encouragement. I feel like, you know what, I can do this because you're real parents. You're a real family. You're not saying that you do everything perfect. And it gives me so much encouragement. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it does for our listeners. Thank you for being here again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
It has been a wonderful couple days with Jay and Heidi St. John. And if you've been inspired to start teaching the Bible intentionally to your children, you can get information about the St. John's new curriculum, Firmly Planted, at our website, drjamesdobson.org. And I'm sure this won't be the last time we'll hear from the St. John's, but to bring them back and other guests on the program, we do need your help. So consider donating to Family Talk. You can do so online at drjamesdobson.org, on our Facebook page, the Family Talk app, or by calling us 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Thanks for tuning in today, and please be sure to return next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, I'm Ryan Dobson with Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and available now online is the 2013 Christmas Gift Catalog. Inside, you'll find great gift ideas for friends and family, and when you order from the Family Talk catalog, you'll be directly supporting the Family Talk ministry. Check out the Christmas catalog now at drjamesdobson.org and put your gift order in today. That's drjamesdobson.org, and Merry Christmas to you from the entire Family Talk family.